I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern day Asian American woman. My name is Mel.
I'm Helen.
I'm Janet.
I'm Anna.
And I'm Justin.
The topic we are covering today is one that we've been wanting to address for a while, but because none of the three of us could speak authentically to this, we wanted to bring on some guests who could share personal anecdotes and perspectives. Identity plays such a big role in a person's life, and there are so many facets to it.
Today, we are going to be exploring sexual orientation and identity, specifically queer and gay, and the nuances of what that means when you're Asian American. Our two guests are very good friends of ours, and after having many of these types of conversations offline, we are so happy to offer our platform for them to share their stories.
Yes, and for context, Anna's a very close friend of mine from the Bay Area, and she's actually living with my college roommate and someone I always see when I'm back home. And Justin is a close friend of all three of ours. You might recognize him in some of our Instagram posts where he has graciously offered his photography skills. And Justin is also a musician known as one half of the duo J-Rod Twins. Let's welcome Justin and Anna to the ABG podcast.
Hi, guys.
Yay. Hi. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much for being on, guys. I'm so excited for this episode. Yeah. Okay.
I know.
So we're going to start off by doing an introduction and also just sharing your personal stories. So why don't you give us a background of yourself, your name, occupation, what pronouns you go by, and for the purposes of this episode, what is your sexual orientation?
Hi, everyone. I'm Anna. I currently live in San Francisco. I'm 30 years old. I work at Facebook as a business lead for entertainment. My pronouns are she and her, and I identify as queer.
Hey, everyone. My name is Justin. I'm 29 years old, and I'm originally from Seattle, Washington. But now I'm down near the Los Angeles area pursuing music and YouTube full time with my twin brother. And I go by he, and my sexual orientation is gay.
Wonderful. Thank you guys so much for giving us that background. So our first question, we'll just dive into the topic of when and how did you first have exposure to sexuality and identity? And when did you know that you were what you currently identify as?
So I grew up in a really small like Asian community, like near Long Beach. It's called Cerritos. And so I was like very sheltered growing up. I also grew up super religious. And so I had no idea what I didn't even know gay people existed when I was in high school. And I think my first exposure to it was when one of my closest guy friends in high school, who incidentally I had like gone to prom with and stuff, came out as gay senior year. And so that kind of got me thinking like, oh, like people like this do exist in the world. But I had, you know, I was so sheltered from it. I didn't really know what that meant. I think in tandem too, during high school, you know, like it's very typical that you like have a boyfriend, or as a female, you have a boyfriend and you have a crush, and like that's kind of what your high school life kind of centers around. And I remember like kind of participating in it, but it felt very, just like I said, participatory. Like it felt forced, and I never felt really drawn to men. and even at a young age, like going through puberty and stuff, like I always had an inclination for women. So I had really close female friends, a lot often older students at my school who like, oh, I always just kind of like was drawn towards. And so in high school, not being able to know what that is and not be able to name that was really confusing. But it was something that I was able to kind of learn more about. And when I went to college, I went to UCSD. In my freshman and sophomore year, I just encountered a lot of different types of people. And I think even though because of my Christian background, I was like taught to kind of close myself off to people who are different from me. At the same time, I was really drawn to them. So I was really curious. And I think with a lot of people my age who kind of like go through this like self-discovery, a lot of it happened within media. And so I stumbled upon a show. It was like a Canadian show called South of Nowhere, where this like Catholic girl is living her life in high school, and she realizes she's gay. And so I identified with that immediately. It just kind of jump-started a questioning within me of like, how do I balance my identity as one, like an Asian daughter in a really strict family home, two, as a Christian where my faith tells me like this is not a thing, and then thirdly, as of an identity that I like really truly identified with but felt so like it was a far reach because I could never be that. I officially came out my sophomore year of college in 2009, and I would say like up until that point there was a lot less exposure, and then my exposure kind of like peaked from then. I went out to WeHo every weekend and met all the the gay community and things like that.
Wonderful. So it sounds like college and the media played a huge role in kind of allowing you to have a perception and slowly kind of a relatability for yourself.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like being able to see and recognize someone that you see on screen, I think it plays a really big role, because if you're not able to see that in something mainstream, it makes you feel invisible.
Thank you for sharing. How about you, Justin?
So for me, it all started when I was probably 3 or 4 years old. My family started noticing things a little bit different about me than my brother. Obviously, we're twins, and so naturally there's going to be a comparison there, right? Like, they should be the same. They should be, you know, they should do everything the same. They should dress the same. But I was a little different. So my sister and my mom caught me trying on my sister's clothes or putting on her heels or even maybe putting on her makeup. There were just these little hints that I was slightly different, you know, and they couldn't understand it then. But even for me, I didn't even know what to take of it. You know, I was like, okay, I like these things. I probably wasn't really aware at that age. I'd say like a lot of things that girls are into, I guess like the socially constructed view of what a girl would be into, I was kind of into as well. You know, even when I was playing Street Fighter, I would always choose the girl character. If I was watching an anime, I would always want to watch Sailor Moon, and I would practice their transformation, you know, motions in front of a mirror, you know. Yeah. So there was just these things that I thought I was a girl for a little while. I think because I had a twin brother that is straight, I think it kept me from going so far onto that side, and he kind of reeled me back. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I joke around and I say that I might have became transgender if it wasn't for my brother. And so, yeah, I don't want to draw that out too long, but I think my first memory of me realizing that I was gay was when I was about 8 years old. I had a dream about Nick Carter from Backstreet Boys. I had a dream that he came to my house. I don't remember what he did or anything, but I just remember having a huge crush on him when he like opened the front door. It was just unexplainable, but I remember that. I was just like, why do I have a crush on him? But after that, I was like a huge fan of Backstreet Boys, you know, Millennium. That was my favorite album.
I've had those dreams too.
And yeah, so I think that was like my first memory of me, you know, even feeling like I had a crush on a guy.
And that was, you said, around 8 years old?
Yeah, I think around eight or nine, somewhere around there.
And did you know what that was at the time?
Not really. Mm-hmm. I couldn't explain it. But I knew that I had a crush on a guy. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I remember when I was in fifth grade, there was this kid in my class. He was like a really popular kid. And I was a little bit more quiet, timid, shy. And I just remember having a huge crush on him for some reason. But one thing that we had in common was that we both liked drawing and art. And so somehow we were able to like become friends through that. And then I remember going to his house just to like draw. But little did he know, like I had a huge crush on him and there was like butterflies in my stomach every time I like hung out with him or, you know, saw him in class. You know, I would always try to get his attention, but he didn't know, you know, I was just his friend. Yeah, there's just a bunch of little things that happened that just made me realize that, hey, maybe I am gay, but I'm not sure. You know, it's just a really confusing like transitional time. So,
yeah, thank you for sharing.
Of course.
Yeah, I want to add to that real quick. So, Justin, when did you know exactly that you knew you were gay then? Because you said you had moments, but was there a moment in time or age or like, I think I'm for sure gay?
I was using my brother's computer one day. And, you know, naturally as a teenager, when you go through puberty, you kind of get a little more curious and all that. And so I remember downloading a photo of a dude. I don't remember if he was nude or like maybe semi-nude, but I was just curious, right? And so I downloaded a photo, and usually I'm pretty good at erasing my steps, you know, like doing the whole deleting the browsing history and, you know, emptying the recycle bin. But that day I forgot. So Jason ended up going to the computer and he saw this photo on the desktop, and then he was super confused. And then he just sat there and thought about it for a while and was like, why is this photo here? And who downloaded it? Slowly things started to click to him though, because he started just thinking back to all of my mannerisms and my, you know, just things that I did in the past, whether if it was choosing girl characters or putting on, you know, my sister's dresses and stuff. And then he was like, oh my God, is Justin gay? We both lived in different houses at the time, and we were neighbors. So I went over to his house because he called me over and then confronted me about the photos. And I was like, those aren't my photos. Like, I didn't download those photos. I think Stephanie did. But Stephanie is my sister. So I blamed it on my sister. I kind of lied in the moment. But then being twins, you know each other inside and out. Well, I mean, most of the time you know each other inside and out. I don't want to speak on behalf of all twins. But, you know, we started as womb mates, I like to say. You know? So we know each other pretty well. So he could sense there was something off. And then eventually I caved in. And then I just told him. I was like, I think I like guys. Like, I think that's how I came out to him. And that's, and honestly, I didn't know either. You know, I still said I think, but that was the time when I really was able to verbalize it. And I think that was probably the moment that I knew that I was gay. So that was my first time verbalizing it. So yeah, I came out to my brother that night. He didn't react too well to it. He basically just said, are you sure? I think you can change, you know, like that's what he was as a 13-year-old, you know. It's common as a 13-year-old to not understand. And I understood that he needed time as well. So I just said, like, I don't know, like, I think I'm gay, but, you know, like, we'll see. You know, I just said, we'll see. We were neighbors, like I said earlier. And so I went back to my house and then Jason stayed there. And then before I left, he said, don't do anything like stupid or something that you'll regret. Yeah. So that showed that he was aware, you know, that this could have been really tough on me, but I think he needed some time as well. And the next morning we woke up and forgot it ever happened. And then I pretended I was straight until I was 21. And that's when I came out again to everyone else. Continuing on to when I was 21, I decided that I wanted to come out again. And I was ready. So after all these years of suppressing myself and hiding my true self and focusing on being straight and not showing my mannerisms, not being too girly, not walking with my butt shaking back and forth, you know, like just little things like that. I decided, like, you know, I can't do this anymore. And I actually started secretly dating a guy and I didn't tell Jason about it or anyone. And then our relationship just kept progressing. And then I was tired of just hiding, like hiding all of it. And so one night I decided to write a letter to Jason, and I knew that he would wake up earlier than me the next morning to go to work. And so I left it in the bathroom over the sink. It was really hard because the very first time he reacted, you know, I was kind of traumatized from that. And so I didn't want to do it in person again. And so I wrote a letter, left it in the bathroom. At this point, we were living in the same house, but in separate bedrooms. And so the next morning I woke up super early and I knew what time he had to go to work. And so I was ready for him to go to the bathroom and read the letter, all of that. He went to the bathroom, read the letter, and I heard him walking towards my bedroom door. And he slid my door open, and then I was pretending like I was sleeping, of course. And he just stood there and stared at me and didn't say anything. He stood there for about 4 or 5 seconds, and then he left for work. And the whole time I was in bed, just like, my heart was about to explode. I didn't know like how he was going to react. I didn't know if he was going to accept me or what. And so later on, he got to work and decided to send me a text and told me that he was so excited and so happy that I finally was able to come out. And he's been he told me he's been waiting for this day ever since we were 13. And then after that, it was smooth sailing. I had my brother, who is my best friend, who is my honorary gay best friend, you know, like he was helping me come out to all my friends, family. Sometimes he'd spit it out for me. We would do a 3, 2, 1. I'm gay. Justin's gay. You know, yeah.
That's
and
awesome.
Like, literally, I wouldn't have been able to go through all of it without him. And I could easily get emotional about it just talking about it. But
I'm getting emotional about this. Oh my gosh,
Anna's crying over there.
Yeah, just the perks of having a twin brother. To be honest, during this entire journey. Yeah. It's been a huge blessing. So.
Oh my gosh, Anna, are you tearing up? We're on a Zoom call right now.
Yeah,
I'm
like,
your eyes.
Legit. I want to give you a virtual hug.
Yeah, seriously. Go Jason. Yeah. So much respect for Jason.
He's the best, guys.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. I love that family love.
And he, obviously, we know we're really close to Jason and Justin. They're really, like, have a strong sibling bond, like, for sure. And I think it's because, like, have everything you guys been through together, being twins, there's so much to it. To be honest, I didn't know Jason reacted that way when he was 13. And then to see him now, it's just like, you wouldn't believe that, you know?
Yeah.
But it shows, like, you know, I think, you know, being 13, you don't know that. You don't know as much. And then now he's, what, 29 too. So just there's a lot of shift that happens, you know?
Yeah. And especially back in the day, you know, where things were so different. Nowadays, it's just a lot easier, I would say. I don't want to say it's... you know, everyone has their own story and their own journey, but I'd say there's so much more representation out there now, you know, and there's a lot more resources, so.
Yeah, no, that's great. No, thank you for sharing, Anna. So how did you come out to your friends and family, and, like, what was your reaction? Like, what was your relationship with them, like, before and after? Because I know me and you talk about this offline, and you did tell me that you come from a very traditional, like, Korean Christian family. So I'm just curious, like, you know, how was that story, and how was that experience like for you?
Yeah, so I had a very different experience and continue to have a different experience than Justin with my family. So I first came out to my friends my sophomore year of college. It happened to be like my roommates who I also was involved in this InterVarsity Christian Fellowship with. And so they were like my closest group at that time. I remember my first time ever calling it out was with one of my friends, Elisa, who... she's like an older sister figure to me. And I remember I had been talking to her at length about wrestling with this and like, how do you know if you're gay? And how do you like, you know, why does this happen to people? Like, how do I know if this is a sure thing? And am I going to go to hell? And I just remember having like a late night conversation and I like couldn't get it out. I had never called it out before and recognized it. And so, and I still couldn't. She just like asked me point blank. She was like, hey, are you gay? And I was like, I think I am. And at that time, we used the term gay. I'll kind of get into it later, but we use the term gay as a blanket term. And after that, it was like a little bit easier to come out to the rest of my friend group. She was supportive because lo and behold, I found out like a few months later that she was also gay. And so she and I, we created like this bond over our identities because she was also heavily involved in the church. Her parents are pastors, things like that. So we had a lot of similarities. My other friends, they kind of had the same reaction as how Jason reacted when you were 13, where they were like, are you sure? Like, this is just a phase. You'll grow out of it. Mm. And so that was hard. But I also like have a strong personality. And so when I anchor on something and this something happened to be my identity, like I'm pretty headstrong about it. But I just knew that like it wasn't something that I'm going to grow out of. That was something that I knew for sure. I knew that this was going to come at odds with my spirituality. And so like testing it with my friends came first and it didn't land as well. But they were still supportive. They were like, you know, like, because you might grow out of it, like, they were still, like, friends and they loved me and things like that. After I graduated college, I had been living back at home with my parents and the entire time. So at this point, I had been out for about 2 years. I have an older sister. She's 5 years older than me. I was living with my parents and still closeted at the time. And I met a girl. And this was the first time that I had ever dated anyone. I fell hard and fast and like fell in love, and things just like really picked up. And because I lived with my parents at the time, like it was very obvious, like when I wasn't home, you know, or like I would she would sleep over, but I would be like, oh yeah, my friend's sleeping over. And I think for my parents too, it didn't really become a reality, because in their mind, they didn't know what being gay was, and like that didn't exist. Mm-hmm. But for my sister, she did kind of pick up on it. I think about like 6 months into she and I dating, I remember my sister called me up one night and she was like, hey, I need you to come over. We need to talk. She lived like a couple blocks down the road from her parents' house. So I was like, okay. And I kind of knew, you kind of have that like feeling or mm-hmm. you just know that you're going to be called out on something that you've been trying to hide. And I remember walking in the living room, she was like sitting down and she was like, so are you and Jess dating? Jess was the name of my girlfriend at the time. And I just like started crying. I'm mm-hmm. like, yeah, we are. Her reaction was, well, you know what it says about homosexuality in the Bible. And I was just like, yeah, I mean, of course. Like, this was something that I knew and had been wrestling with my entire life. And for that to be the first thing that came out of her mouth, like, was really hard. And then the third thing she said was, like, do our parents know? She was like, you have to tell our parents. I personally wasn't ready for that. I don't think there was ever a time that I was going to be ready for that. And I just told her, no, I don't think I'm going to tell them. And she was just like, no, I think they should know. And then I think like 2 days passed. I went home, like we really didn't talk about it other than the fact that she was like, this is not okay because of our faith. Mm-hmm. I remember like, I think it was like 2 days later, I came home to my parents' house and both my parents were sitting in the living room. I'd come home pretty late that night. My dad, who's like very typical, like Korean father, doesn't have that very many words, doesn't talk about anything, isn't confrontational, like just like point blank asked me like, do you like girls? And I said, yeah. And I immediately started crying. That night is kind of a blur to me. I think I would kind of honestly like block some of it out. There were some misunderstandings on my part about my parents' reactions. Because initially they started off like really angry. Like my mom was like, this is not okay. This is not how you should be and how, you know, a Korean Christian girl should behave. And she was like telling me to break up with my girlfriend and things like that. And she was like, you can't see Jess anymore and things like that. And at that time I was like financially independent. I was like early 20s. And so I was like, well, like if I can't be who I am, then I'm going to move out. And I remember like running to my door, slamming it and going to sleep. The next morning, woke up, parents acted like nothing had happened. We kind of like didn't really talk about it until like later that evening. And my mom just came up to me and she was like, don't move out. I don't want you to move out. But that was kind of it. And that at this time, like my dad hadn't really said anything. So it was like confusing. Like I just had gotten really confusing messages mm-hmm. From my parents. And I think in a way I still continue to. A couple weeks later, my dad had actually like called me to come home after work that day because he needed to talk to me about something. And I came home and there was another man that I'd never seen in the living room. I was like, who are you? You know, it's like this Korean man. And he was like, oh, I'm the pastor at your dad's church. Your dad told me that you need to be prayed for. So like, can we pray together today? And I was like, huh. That's weird. Because he hadn't reacted in any way whatsoever, I kind of just imagined in my brain that like he had glossed it over as he's praying out loud. And he's like, please, Lord, I hope that Anna returns to you and she doesn't experience these feelings that she's not supposed to anymore. Something of that nature. And in effect, he was trying to pray away the gay. Mm. And I think immediately that something clicked in me and I got up. I went upstairs. I packed a bag. I called my girlfriend. I said, hey, can I stay over at your place a couple days? Like, I can't be in this house. And I left. I didn't say anything to my dad. I didn't say anything to that man. Just walked out, went to my girlfriend's house and just like bawled profusely for a couple hours. I think that's when my dad got it. That like, I think that's when it clicked for him that this wasn't something that I could control or that I could change or that I wanted to. And like the next day my sister called me and she's like, hey, dad's really freaking out. What happened? And of course, like I wasn't talking to my sister at this time either. I kind of told her about the pastor situation and whatnot. And she was like, well, he's like really broken up. You need to talk to him. And so like I had to reach out to my dad. I called him and he was crying on the phone and he's like, I'm sorry. I think that moment for him was when he realized that at the expense of losing his daughter, like this wasn't worth it. After he apologized, we like briefly talked about it and I came back home and I kind of take that as like my dad's acceptance. We rarely even to this day talk about my sexuality. I've mentioned to him a couple times. I told him when my ex and I broke up. I told him when I was dating someone new and I've introduced him to my previous ex-girlfriends, but we don't like talk about it. My mom to this day tries to set me up with men. and she asks me like when I'm going to get married to a man and things like that. And then my sister, we also don't talk about it. I think she's gotten a lot better ever since she's had her kids. And I've been like very involved in their lives. With my family, it's an untouchable topic.
I'm so sorry to hear it was so difficult for you to come out to your family, Anna. I know there are many people out there struggling with coming out because of family, but also because of religion and, you know, what's stated in the Bible. But it sounds like you have such a strong internal compass of what your identity is, and you accepted it despite how hard it is to open up to your parents. And I think that's super admirable. I'm like getting chills hearing your story, and it's such a strong story. And thank you so much for sharing that. I guess personally for you, do you feel free that you can and you have shared your sexual orientation with your parents? And despite it being so difficult, do you just feel like you have a weight lifted off your shoulders, or is there a part of you that's like, kind of wish I didn't tell them?
I've never had the I wish I didn't come out like reaction. I mean, I do feel free, like in every aspect of my life outside of with my family, like I'm very out. I'm very proud. I'm very vocal. That's how I live my life. Mm-hmm. I think with my family, it is a little bit harder. I feel a little muted. And that's like kind of caused me to be in a position where I don't enjoy being around my family as much because I can't be myself. And I think that's something I'm constantly working through even now, is like, I think there's a part of me that puts my family at a distance because I feel like I assume I know how they're going to react. And so I'd keep them at bay. But at the same time, I'm not giving them the opportunity to let themselves in. I do worry, though, like things I still get stressed out about or anxiety about is like if and when I do get married, how that person will be accepted by my parents, and like especially like, oh, if I have a traditional wedding, what that'll look like. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, I've just accepted the fact that like there's a possibility that my parents won't be at my wedding, that my sister won't be at my wedding, that some of my friends who in college who I was part of the church community with won't be at my wedding. And I've had conversations with them about that. And I've just kind of had to accept that. But at the same time, there's the amount of people that have been accepting and that have shown me love and allowed me to be my true self, like that outweighs all of that. And so that's kind of what encourages me to keep being myself and unapologetic, and because that's so much worth it at the end than like one event.
Damn, I like literally got shivers hearing that.
I know.
I feel like that, I mean, that goes for anyone who's struggling with any part of their identity too, right? And just feeling super vulnerable about it and wanting to hide it. But I think the fact that you're just like so headstrong with like, this is who I am and this is how I'm going to live, and you know, no one can take that identity away from me, that's just really powerful. I guess for Justin, for you, I also wanted to ask, you know, Jason was very accepting of your coming out, and your family was as well. Was that something that was also very freeing for you?
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure, Anna, you can relate as well somewhat. Just holding in that secret is not fun, right? I mean, earlier I was kind of explaining, you know, how coming out and having a twin brother, it just really helps with the process. But yeah, like I definitely can empathize with a lot of the things that Anna went through. It's kind of interesting how your story is kind of opposite from my story in some ways, because I'm more comfortable with my family, but whereas I'm not active at all in the community, and I'm not out online or go to events or things like that. It was really interesting. And I also want to like say that I can't imagine going through that journey without having the support of my family and all of my close friends. You know, I just want to commend you for being so strong and having that willpower to like get through it. But yeah, it's, for me, it was so freeing. And ever since I came out to my family, my close friends, they were all very accepting of me. And, you know, there's that initial kind of confusion, but they all kind of had an idea, right? They just thought back to me as a kid doing what I did, kind of what I explained earlier. It just made sense to them. It made sense.
Justin, I know you also, you made a good point about how you're not really involved in the community. But what you do, I guess that's your occupation, right? You are a YouTuber. You're J-Rod Twins. YouTube has 185,000 or so subscribers. Have you come out publicly to people, or is it kept within only close friends and family?
So it's only kept within close friends, family, and just my circle, my network. But yeah, I've never said anything online. I've never posted anything regarding my sexual identity. I know we'll get into that more later. But yeah, at times I've felt guilty for not doing it. But I'm hoping that doing this podcast will be a stepping stone for me into expressing more of that side of me. So I'm looking forward to it.
Is this your first time, Justin, talking about your sexual orientation?
Yes.
In a public forum, it is?
This is my very first time. So I'm quite nervous, but I'm grateful that it's happening with a good group of ladies like you guys. So
that's wonderful.
Ever since we started selling merch on ABG, check out asianbossgirl.com/shop, we've been using ShipStation. When you're selling online, getting a lot of orders out fast can be tough. ShipStation is an easy and affordable way for you to manage and ship out all of your products. Just a few clicks and you can print out labels and get your products out the door.
ShipStation works with all the major carriers, including USPS, FedEx, UPS, even Amazon Fulfillment. So you can compare and choose the best shipping price, some of the lowest prices we've seen, for you and your customer. And right now, Asian Boss Girl listeners can try ShipStation free for 60 days when you use offer code ABG.
Make sure your business is ready to meet the demands of delivery culture. Get started at ShipStation.com today. Click on the microphone at the top of the ShipStation homepage and type in ABG. That's ShipStation.com, then enter offer code ABG. ShipStation.com. Make ship happen.
Now that we've all been at home more, we've definitely been cooking more of our meals. But sometimes we feel a little lazy or pretty hungry and don't have the patience to make a full meal from scratch. It is nice to have something on hand to mix it up a bit. Daily Harvest is a food subscription service that delivers clean, plant-based meals and smoothies to your door.
It's easy to customize and manage your orders, and each item only takes a couple of minutes to prepare. I'm a big fan of their lentil and tomato bolognese harvest bowl. It's savory, fresh, and you can add an egg or other protein to top it off. They never use preservatives, added sugar, or artificial ingredients, and their fruits and vegetables are flash frozen on location.
In addition to smoothies, bowls, and soups, they also have flatbreads and dessert bites. Their packaging is also now 100% recyclable. Go to dailyharvest.com and enter promo code ABG to get $25 off your first box. That's promo code ABG for $25 off your first box at dailyharvest.com. Dailyharvest.com.
I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most. And they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
never. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Both Anna and Justin, you guys are talking about kind of the difference of your family and friends, close people, and then kind of a public community. So you have different kind of situations in that respect of who is more accepting and who is maybe more challenging for you. What are some of the things that you considered in coming out to kind of each of those groups?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, for me, there were layers of it being Asian American, and then also being Christian. And so I think, one, being Asian American, I was thinking about, like, what are the implications to my community? I think typically, especially in Korean American culture, even now, there are not a lot of, like, queer folks out. If you do, like, they're typically the quote-unquote, like, flamboyantly gay comedian characters who, you know, in Korean media, you don't see any, like, a lot of female lesbian characters out there. And in Asian culture, it's so important because you're a representation of your family. And so this aspect of, like, bringing honor to your family is, like, such a thing that weighs heavily, I think, on every one of us in this conversation here. So, like, that was one layer of it. And then the second layer of it is, like, I think was the harder one, is being Christian. The fate of my soul essentially is on the line, right? Because you have people saying that I'm going to go to hell because of my sexuality. There are 6 verses in the Bible that talk about homosexuality. Money is a topic that's talked about more in the Bible than homosexuality. Yet it's spurred so many people to have these strong beliefs that what we're doing is a choice and what we're doing is wrong. It feels louder a lot of the times. Mm-hmm. I think especially not knowing whether, you know, after I die, because heaven and hell is such a reality for Christians, like not knowing whether or not I'm going to heaven or hell, that was something that I had to grapple with. The truths that I anchored on was, one, God made me who I am, and two, who I am is gay. And those facts, like those two facts can in fact exist together. And for me, like that's been my truth, is like, I still identify as Christian or spiritual, and I still identify as gay and queer. So that's my truth, and I'm gonna live it. And that's kind of how I've reconciled that.
That was beautiful. Because there's such a complexity to it, and I think the fact that you are able to boil it down to those two points is incredibly powerful. And I think probably for some of our listeners, a nice example. So thank you. And how about you, Justin? What were some of the things that you considered when you were thinking about coming out? And maybe, like, you shared a bit about with your family, but maybe even publicly, like, you shared that you haven't as much. What are some of your reservations?
Yeah, I had a lot of reservations coming out. And like you, Anna, as well, I grew up in a religious household, but my mom is actually Buddhist. So fact check me on this, but I believe in the Buddhist religion, there isn't anything that's written about homosexuality in there. So my mom didn't know much about it, but the only thing she was worried about was just being viewed negatively by her friends or her peers or whatever, you know. And so I think that's the image was what she was worried about. Also, I grew up in a house where it was a clash of cultures. So my mom is Vietnamese, and she was a Buddhist nun. And then my stepdad is white, and then my dad was Thai, which is very, I think in Thai culture, it's very accepting of, you know, LGBT people. Yeah, so for me, it wasn't as much of like a family expectation. It was more of me just being super self-conscious of what other people would perceive of me. And mm-hmm. so things like, you know, if I told someone I was gay, would they instantly picture me, you know, engaging in some kind of sexual activity with another gay man, or losing friends? Or I had 2 Mormon best friends growing up in high school, and their families were basically my families as well. I was afraid that they would just disown me, you know, or again, like you, Anna, like maybe they wouldn't attend my wedding because they don't support my lifestyle. So it was just things like that for me. And I feel lucky to say that I only had to deal with those issues and not as many family issues. But yeah, those are kind of the things that I thought of during the time when I was coming out.
No, thank you for sharing that. I think it's really hard because like these are such factors that are really important in someone's life to consider. But you know, you guys both mentioned, you guys, you know, Justin, you had Jason, and Anna, you had your friend from college that also identified. Like, who's someone besides those two friends that you turn to in this time of uncertainty? And like, any wise words from like maybe someone older from me, like from a mentor or like maybe a therapist during this time?
And in addition to that question, are there certain like icons maybe in media that you can relate to and have found comfort in?
So someone that I've turned to in time of uncertainty, I think you guys can guess, my twin brother.
Jason!
You know, we've lived 29 years together ever since the day I downloaded that first photo on his computer. You know, I think he secretly has been with me through all of my problems, but he never just really expressed it in words, but he knew. He knew I was gay.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to now, he's been my wingman. Like, he's been my best friend. He's been, like I said, my honorary gay bestie. He goes out with me if I go out to the bars. I don't have many gay friends, and so he was kind of there to fill that void. I had, like, one gay friend in college, I think, but I text him maybe once a year. So there wasn't... I didn't have a big circle that I could turn to talk about these topics. And the great thing is that my brother is super open-minded and he's willing to learn. So he was so excited for me to come onto this podcast as well, because he's like, you know, anything that you learn from this podcast, you know, talking to Anna as well, he's going to learn as well. So that's why he was so excited for me to go on here and just talk about these things, because he was the only person I ever turned to talk about these super deep, deep, deep topics. I've talked to Mel and you guys about it before as well, but as far as going super deep and like talking about my identity and all that, it's just untapped. I sidelined that for my entire life, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we do on this podcast. We go deep, even for ourselves. We're like, oh my gosh, we never asked ourselves these questions, and here we are.
Yeah, and as far as like a therapist or like a mentor, I'd say for me, YouTube has been kind of my mentor. Even just watching videos online, coming out videos, that has really helped me out a lot with just accepting myself more and embracing who I am. And I feel grateful that there's that resource nowadays that we could turn to if we don't have like a friend to talk to, or there's like a community comment sections, you know, you can go in there and just like chat with people and read comments and just feel not as alone.
Anna, how about you? Who's someone that you kind of turn to for in times of support?
Yeah, so my friend and mentor, Elisa, who also came out. I mean, we've been friends since high school now. And anytime I have anything, you know, dating advice, you know, questions about, you know, once in a while I'll still ask, like, hey, like, are we going to hell? like, things like existential questions, things like that. She's definitely someone that I still turn to. And I have my, like, close group of gay guy friends that I turn to. And we all have, like, similar ideologies. It's just nice to, like, have an outlet. And so that's been nice. And then, honestly, like, my friend group here, you know, Regina, V, I mean, Mel, you're included in that group too. Like, I think just being able to talk about the things, a lot of the topics that, you know, you ladies talk about on your podcast, like, and to not have any, you know, judgment that it's a female that we're talking about. I think that's been really helpful.
Is there anyone in media that you look up to?
Yeah, so I'm like really into Top Chef right now. And Melissa King is someone who has increasingly like gone up on my list of, you know, people I look up to. She's Asian. She's also queer and she lives in San Francisco. She's very out and proud. At least, I mean, I don't know her and I haven't met her. These are all, you know, from the lens of like Instagram and TV.
That's wonderful. Thank you guys so much for sharing your personal stories and your background. I feel like that was such a beautiful conversation. Now we kind of want to, for those of our listeners and for us in this group, think more outwardly about the queer community in general. There's a lot of education that still needs to happen in terms of like terminology and general understanding. So if you guys could kind of do a little bit of 101 for us, what's the difference between queer and LGBTQI? Are those even the appropriate terms?
So I'll preface this with saying like This is just kind of my interpretation. I by no means speak for the entire community. I think everyone has, you know, their own understanding of this. But for me, so I, like I said at the beginning, like I identify as queer. And for me, that like I actually learned about that term in college when I was involved in our queer people of color community and our queer career group. Like that was just the word that we used. And I think I didn't really understand it because LGBTQIA plus, as it now is and it continues to grow, was the typical abbreviation for the community. But something that I learned is historically, the LGBT community has really centered around the white LGBT community. So a lot of times when you think about history, a lot of the, you know, Stonewall and things like that really only encompassed a lot of the white communities, white male communities involved. And so, you know, LGBT was kind of this umbrella term to include lesbian, trans, and bi, but like the bulk of the community was made up of white gay men. Queer used to be a derogatory term used against the LGBT community, but in recent years, like because it includes people of color and people who identify on the outskirts, so you're thinking like genderqueer folks, non-monogamous, it's kind of a reclamation of that. And so I personally prefer using the term queer because it now includes the experiences of people of color, people who aren't included in the original LGBT spectrum.
I think, yeah, Anna and I were talking about this before and I was like, can you please educate me on this? Because I think some, like, to be honest, this is something I feel like if you're, I don't want to say if you're not involved in the community, but like it's, I think it's something that I feel like we should be educated on. I think a lot of people are just afraid to use the wrong terminology because they don't want to come off offensive because they just don't know. So I was asking Anna about this and she was totally educating me on this back at home. So thank you for sharing that.
Something that I've learned also, and you make a good point, Mel, it's I guess if you don't, if you're not surrounded by people who do identify, then you're very sensitive about what words and what terminology you should be using or would appropriately be using, I guess. Because something that I learned is like homosexuality is that word itself, is that seen as derogatory, and now queer is more accepted versus queer used to be more of a derogatory term. And now I think the younger generation has brought it back, right, to what you were saying, to encompass more complexities around identity.
Yeah, and like personally, I don't identify as lesbian because I think traditionally when you think of a lesbian, you think of a white angry butch woman. And that's kind of like the typical face of the term. And so for me personally, I mean, and you've heard it throughout this podcast so far, like I call myself, I use the term gay because I think it's a little more open and accepting and doesn't put me in a particular box.
I feel like there are a lot of stereotypes and implicit biases that come with just labeling, right? You say, I am a lesbian, I am gay. There are so many thoughts that people have about what that means, which is so unfair because everyone is it's very complex and shouldn't be, you know, fit into a box. So Anna, you said that you're a little bit more involved with the LGBTQ community. In what ways are you involved?
Yeah, so I was more involved in college, especially towards the end of my last 2 years at UCSD. I was involved in like Queer People of Color group and the Queer Korean Club, as I mentioned before. To be honest, it's been a lot harder post-college to find those communities, especially, you know, at work. But I've actually been really blessed the past couple of years to join companies that are very open and accepting. And we've had specific employee resource groups that are designed for employees who identify as a particular, in a particular way. So at Medallia, for example, I was involved in Q-Field. That was what we called our queer group there. And this, like, I wouldn't even, like, involved is probably makes it seem like I'm more active than I actually am. I'm more of a participant than, like, an activist in that sense. And at Facebook, we have a Pride At group. But it's hard. Like, even at Facebook, for example, our Pride At group is made up of mostly white gay men. And, you know, every year we have like a conference for just specifically for everyone who identifies within the Pride community. Like you walk in there and it's very, it's like maybe one out of 20, 25 people are female. So it's hard. I've also tried to be involved in Lesbians Who Tech. That also happens to be a very majority white female group. There was one point like when I first moved to San Francisco, where I was like, I really want to meet queer Koreans in San Francisco. And my friend Elisa, she happened to know of one, and you know, we met and we tried to kind of come up with something, but it's just really hard. If you guys heard of the joke, like, lesbians, what did lesbians bring on the second date? A U-Haul. It's because like a lot of lesbians like shack up and get into relationships, and like and so like I think as you get older too and you get into these relationships, like, there's less interest. Yeah, it's been hard for sure. I think especially for women of color who are in this community, there's like zero to none.
I didn't know it was that sparse in your community in terms of like the queer, like, people of color. Mm-hmm. And like it kind of just shows how, like, so there's so much nuance to this, because like I think we talk about how like there's a lack of representation in Asian American people in general in like the corporate field, or like people not working 9 to 5, but then if you go even more deeper, it's like even Asian Americans who identify as queer in these corporate settings don't even also have a group there too. So it seems like everyone's trying to find their community wherever they're at.
And how about you, Justin? So you kind of have a different maybe environment work-wise, but also as Anna had shared kind of her personal relationship and personal identity and with the terms that are perceived in society a certain way, how has your relationship been with the terminology and community?
The fact that I've suppressed exploring more of that side of myself, naturally, I think it correlates to how much I spend my time researching these topics and being knowledgeable about these topics. And so for me, you know, I'm actually, I don't know very much about just the terminologies people go by or pronouns and their titles and things like that. But for me, I identify as gay, and that's kind of all I've ever really known. That's why I did really look forward to Anna's perspective on this, because I don't know much about the lesbian culture, or can I say lesbian culture? I can,
yes,
right?
Yes, you can.
Okay. I don't know much about lesbian culture. And I also wanted to ask Anna a quick question. Let's say someone were to call you lesbian. How should that person like proceed with the conversation? Like, how would you deal with that if they were to call you lesbian, I guess?
That's a great question, actually, because people do mm-hmm. call me lesbian. And I think I don't have any problem with it necessarily, because I think a lot of times from the outside in, like, that is what I am, right? Like, I like women, and that by definition is a lesbian. So it doesn't like offend me or anything at all. I think it's just for me, calling myself gay is like a way for me to reclaim that for myself. But even for this group here, how like identifying folks with like particular terms, like, I'm not someone who's like very critical of that. I know, like, there are people who, like, hate the word, like, you guys, and they want you to y'all and things like that. And I've just, my perspective is, like, I care more about intention than the actual, like, use of the term. And inclusion for me is that, is, like, how do you intend it? That's just my two cents.
I'm on the same boat, too, for sure.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you so much for sharing your personal stories with us and your coming out story, and also just your involvement in the queer community. I feel like we're just brushing the surface of a topic that is incredibly nuanced, and there's so much to it. And we want to do it justice. And we want to do it justice, obviously. So seeing that we're already hitting the 1 hour mark, let's maybe close this one out for this episode, and we'll go deeper into topics like your current identity, how is your dating life, and a lot more juicy topics too in the next episode.
So Anna and Justin, where can our listeners find you digitally or on the interwebs?
So I'm on Instagram. My handle is at my name is Anna Lee. Yeah, hit me up there.
So you can find me at Justin Rod Jan, Rod like a fishing rod, and then Jan like January. Or you can check out our music too. Can I plug that in? At J Rod Twins.
Yeah, of course.
J Rod, fishing rod again, and then Twins.
We have some partnerships that we're very happy to share with you all. If you guys want to go to our partnership page or in the show notes, you'll see the links and the discount codes. You could also find us on all of the podcasting platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcast, and Google Podcasts. Subscribe and leave us a rating and review at Asian Boss Girl. And if you'd like to support us through monthly donations, you can now do so at anchor.fm/AsianBossGirl/support.
We're also very active on social. Our handle socials at Asian Boss Girl. If you resonate with today's guests and their incredible vulnerable stories, screen cap this podcast, tag us, and we can reshare on our Instagram story. Also find us on YouTube where we have started posting some vlogs. Subscribe at Asian Boss Girl.
And thank you to our super talented editor, Michelle, for working all her magic on our episodes, including this one. Catch us on the next episode.
Bye. Bye.